Nice text message has come in for you, Dr. O'Connell, saying that you helped this lady with her baby girl. She had her in Colombo, and she you guided her over the phone, and the whole process was very simple. So thank you for sharing that. So not even here in the UAE.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, no, we would coordinate a lot with doctors over the phone, you know, maybe doctors that haven't done a collection procedure before. And we do collect from all around the world. And, you know, we facilitate that process for people. It is really a simple procedure. It's not something that should take up too much of your time in the actual birth. You know, we fully support on the day and after as well, providing all information that's needed.
So parents might decide to do this just, you know, with no history, family history of anything to be concerned about. But maybe there is. Maybe there is family history, cardiovascular disease. Maybe diabetes is in the family. Maybe there has been a test done, a screening during the pregnancy that has given alarm bells to the parents, and actually it would really help to go through this process of collecting the cord blood stem cells and storing them. So when we look at the different conditions, something like type 2 diabetes, how does the stem cell help or assist in recovery or managing that illness?
Yeah, so actually type 1 diabetes is one area of disease where they've made an awful lot of progress recently. And as we know, type 1 diabetes, it's an autoimmune disease. It's where the cells of the immune system, they attack the beta cells in the pancreas.
So we're talking about type 1 rather
type
than type
1,
2.
Yes, okay. Yes, type 1, yeah. And recently, specifically with cord blood stem cells, they've developed a device. It's called the Stem Cell Educator. And what that is that it's a device that contains cord blood stem cells. So they slowly drain T cells from the patient who's suffering from type 1 diabetes. And these T cells are switched with the cord blood stem cells. So basically, they're re-educating the immune system so that the new immune cells do not recognize the beta cells as foreign and they do not attack them. So they've seen really good follow-up results after 1 year with this treatment. So again, it's about re-educating the immune system so that they don't actually attack the cells in the body that are being affected.
I suppose the thing with that is that we don't, you know, I talk about this quite a bit on the show, is that if there's a tablet we can take, or there's a quick fix or something that we can look to medically as an intervention, that perhaps stops us from taking responsibility for our lifestyle and the way we lead our lives and the, you know, what we put in our mouths, what we eat, our diet and all of that kind of thing. I mean, it's slightly different with type 1 diabetes to type 2 diabetes, but still, you know, something like this is not to say, oh, you know, heart condition, you know, cardiovascular disease, I don't need to worry about it because I know I've got this, will be there when I need it to make me better.
Yeah, well, not necessarily, because, you know, stem cells, you know, they are a form of treatment, but we still need to monitor, you know, our lifestyles and our diet. And, you know, as we know, cardiovascular disease, it affects, you know, everybody globally. It's one of the biggest causes of death in the world. And so, you know, stem cells, they are a treatment option. And right now, you know, say for the treatment of a blood disorder, they're a treatment option with chemotherapy. They're not, you know, there probably is a lot of hype out there and a lot of, you know, saying that stem cells could potentially be used, you know, to treat as the first form of treatment. But they're a treatment option right now today with other forms of treatment. But we still need to monitor our health and our lifestyle. You know, we're still a number of years away from them becoming a widespread normal, you know, treatment option.
Text here, why can't our body's existing stem cells repair, replace the diseased cells instead of relying on our frozen core stem cells? Good question.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, naturally that is their function, but they're most abundant in the bone marrow and in the peripheral blood and in cord blood. So the cells from our bodies, they age as we age. Stem cells, they're constantly fighting off disease. They're constantly fighting off infection. So they remember that immune history. They remember the diseases that they've fought off. That's the difference between stem cells from our body, such as from the bone marrow, from the blood, versus stem cells from the cord blood, because the cord blood stem cells don't have that immune history. So, you know, cells in our body, they're constantly, we have billions and billions of cells in our bodies working every single minute of every single day. And they remember all of that history. They retain all of it. So with cord blood stem cells, they don't have that history. They're just a minute old. They're collected right at that time of birth. So they're more readily accepted by the body in a transplant setting. There's a less risk of rejection by the body. It's something that we call graft versus host disease. There's fewer transplant drugs that are needed. They're readily available to you straight away. You know, once they're requested that they need to be released from the facility, they're shipped immediately, or when they're requested by the transplant physician, to the transplant centre where they're needed for that transplant. So they're more readily available. They're, it's a phone call and then they're immediately shipped.
And Samad, good morning to you. As sent a list of questions, actually, and all very valid, saying to just to understand and explain a little bit more, clarify the extractions. For example, they've heard that some hospitals can't use the stem cells, or, you know, the technology, is it widely available here in the UAE? So first of all, yes, the technology is here for extraction, as we've been explaining, and that's what you
do. It's a simple kit.
It's a simple kit. Yeah, exactly. But then the life of those cells, so with regards to storage, the life of storage. So if they go into storage, what, you know, are they going, if it's 25 years down the line, are they going to be able to be used? Is there any chance that they would not be as they should be 25 years on?
Well, that's what they're currently studying every single year. And we know that the stem cells are still viable after 29 years. You know, we know that because scientifically they've proven that. So that's, you know, in science, everything has to be proven. That's why the storage period initially is 25 years, because we still need to do the research further on. But it is widely accepted that cells can be stored indefinitely. But we just scientifically need to prove it first. Published papers need to show that, you know, that the stem cells can be used. But it's widely accepted that they can be used after that time.
Mm.
And in terms of the collection, you know, the kit is, it's essentially... everything is provided in the kit that's needed to do the collection. It's a collection bag. The blood flows by gravity. It's a very, very simple process. We train all of the doctors and the midwives here in the UAE and in the hospitals to do the collection. So it should not interfere in any way with the birth. It's a very simple process, which is one of the advantages of collecting the cord blood.
Mm. And it's asking about cost, price, and, you know, we don't have to give specifics out, but it's certainly under 20.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. It's 12,400.
12,400 to be precise.
For 25 years storage.
And that includes the whole process.
The entire process includes shipping to the UK, processing and storage for 25 years. And that's in two separate locations and multiply subdivided as well.
Yes, interesting. So there could be a risk factor involved, and I'm sure that's covered in the paperwork, like anything. But what you're seeing is very good results. So for you as a doctor working in this field extensively, and we're very fortunate to have you here in the region, I think, with your experience, what's exciting you? What's really making you sit up and think, you know what, there's some amazing changes happening here, some amazing breakthroughs happening in the field of work that you do?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, because of the potential of stem cells, and, you know, we know that every cell in our body essentially comes from a stem cell, there's huge therapeutic potential for them in the treatment of disease. Now, where they've made the most progress in terms of cord blood stem cells is in neonatal brain injury, in traumatic brain injury, in cardiovascular disease, and in type 1 diabetes. That's where they have made the most progress, where we have longer follow-up results. When we talk about clinical trials, there's three different stages. The first stage is safety. That's so important. We need to prove and we need to show that stem cells that are infused into the body are safe. That's the aim of every clinical trial, is to follow up, you know, for years after the infusion, and to make sure that, you know, and to list, I guess, what the side effects are. The second stage is proof of concept. So we might see an improvement in a patient who has had a cord blood stem cell infusion versus somebody who hasn't. But then stage two is, how do they do it? How do the stem cells in the body actually, you know, make an improvement in disease? You know, when we talk about stroke and brain disease, the stem cells, because we know in the lab, the stem cells can transform into the neuronal cells of the brain. What they're doing in the body is rebuilding the the supply of blood to the damaged tissue.
Mm.
So it's actually reconstituting those cells, replenishing those cells, regenerating them. And that's based on the natural function of the stem cells in our body. So that stage two is proof of concept. How do stem cells actually, you know, treat disease, and what happens when they get to the site of injury?
Mm.
Stage three of clinical trials then is to bring them into a wider number of patients, treatment in, you know, a number of different subjects. You're talking about thousands of subjects versus, you know, in a stage one trial where it's 15 to 20 patients where safety is an issue. So there's many different stages, you know, that have to go through before stem cell treatment is widely accepted. But we've made a huge amount of progress.
Dr. O'Connell, how people can get in touch with you or find out more about what you do with regards to cord blood stem cells at MedCells here in the UAE?
Yeah, so absolutely. You can visit our website, www.cellsforlife.co.uk, and as well as at www.medcells.ae. And we're based in Healthcare City in Building 25. And you can just give us a call and, you know, we can have an informative meeting where you can get all the facts about cord blood banking.
So for now, thank you, Dr. O'Connell, Medical Director of MedCells and Cells for Life. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.